My view of ambition is kind of like not disciplined, principled greed. I would say, like, because you're constantly chasing for something, like, you have a strong ambition. Like, people always tell me that I'm pretty, like, ambitious because I always want to do stuff.
I get
Like,
the same thing.
yeah, like, I always have a project that I want to work on, especially now, like, working in student engagement like this. I always want to do bigger or better. Like, I always want to, at like, my first couple months was really, like, my mentor just kept saying to me over and over again, we're not reinventing the wheel. And I was like, yes, but I want to be able to evolve everything that we do. So like, sometimes I can seem like I'm just a toddler constantly asking questions like, why? Why do we do it this way? Why do we do it that way? Can we add this? Can we add this? Can we add that? Can we do this? Why don't we do this different person? We had this person for 5 different years. Why don't we choose somebody else? Oh, this person was white. Can we choose someone as POC? Oh my God, can we do this? Can we do that? Well, that person was a man last year. Can we do a woman this year? Certain stuff like that. Or like, this project, we don't have like a safe space for these people in the community. Can we do that? We don't have a safe space for these people in the community. Can we do that? Certain things like that. People always tell me that I'm ambitious because it's you are, you're a go-getter. But at the end of the day, like, I always feel like it's never enough. Like, I'm like, okay, now I feel like I'm doing stuff for my community. What other, who else's community needs help? Maybe I can go with a larger community that still involves my community. Like, okay, now I got Seton Hill covered. Can I try Westmoreland County or something? Like, you know,
Right.
I got Westmoreland County covered. Okay, now can I go to Pittsburgh? Then after Pittsburgh, okay, can I do Allegheny County? Like, stuff like that. I'm really giving away my location, but you know, that's besides the point. Yeah, I got a gun. Y'all can come see me. Anyways, so like, certain things. I have PPE. What is that? Personal protection equipment. I got PPE in every fashion. Anyways, but I think it is, to a certain, it's principled greed, disciplined greed.
Believe that, because I mean, you have to have like a certain type of selfishness or greed when it comes to believing in yourself. Because at some point, I feel like ambition is the point where you choose your own aspirations, your own dream over everything else. So I think that when we talk about ambition, Megan Thee Stallion is probably one of the first people that really come to mind. I mean, the girl graduated college during a damn tour and then released an album that really covered a lot of personal, like, and vulnerable things, as well as adding hits like Traumazine had, like, her, I mean, body, you know, like it
Yeah, was it?
also, you know, had like Plan B, like
Do you know
personal,
where her
you know,
degree?
stuff.
Do you know where her degree in?
I think it's public health.
So it wasn't even in music production. So she's doing a
No.
full time job. But she's doing her full time job, which I don't know what it takes to be a goddamn global pop, like a global rap star. But she basically got a full time job, then had a full time job on the other side.
And more than one full-time job, because think about it, she still got like sponsorships, bookings, things of that nature on top of recording, writing music, and performing. So she still has places she got to show up to, whether it's talk shows, if she does club bookings anymore. I'm sure she doesn't do it anymore, but you know, back then, you know, shows. She was on like that episode of that Marvel show. I forget what that show was called, but you know, like just different things that she's done. She got to do speaking engagements.
Yeah, she's really heavy in the anime community.
She dances. So not only do she have to rap, sometimes sing, but she also got to perform, entertain, and dance. And that's hard all in its own. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. I did musical theater for a very long time. You know, outside of film and television, musical theater is where I got my training, the basis, the foundation of my acting technique and skills from. And to sing and dance at the same time is one of the hardest and most aerobic things that you can do. From moving your body on beat, mind you gotta hit every move. You gotta do it on beat. You also have to breathe. And most of the time, if you really dancing, you really getting down and jiggy with it, you're huffing and puffing. But you can't do that when you're singing and dancing because you also have to have breath technique for whatever verse it is, whether you're singing it or rapping it. That shit is hard. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. If you don't think that shit's hard, go get you some heels. Go get on a treadmill. put that shit at 4 steep and 3.5 failure speed and sing a Beyonce song while doing that. Matter of fact, you don't even got to go on the treadmill. Some 6-inch heels. And that was actually a really good pun because, you know, that's one of my favorite Beyonce songs, 6-inch heels featuring The Weeknd. But anyway, put on some 6-inch heels and get on a damn Stairmaster and rap a Jay-Z song. And then after that, rap another one.
See, I don't think they can do that.
They can't, and which is why I want them to shut the fuck up. They all say, she's always twerking. Oh, she's always twerking.
You hate what you cannot embody. You hate what you cannot embody.
And that's a real ass. That's a real ass.
Your man probably asked you to twerk it, and you can only shake it a couple of pennies out that damn purse that you call an asset.
It's time for the percolator. No, it's time for the perpetrator. Yes, you are perpetrating being a bad bitch, and you're not. You're just a fucking hater.
Yeah, because one of the most popular cases of Megan Thee Stallion.
Throw away the key.
Okay. Is you find a lot of people commenting about her and the way that she carry herself and stuff like that. Same people who do the same thing to Cardi B. I'm not going to lie. We're going to go back to that because that's what the hell we was just talking about. So.
Class H felony. Hater.
I'm just saying the hateration real hot. So go get yourself some Gatorade to cool down. Figure you need.
Oh, man. Maybe we should make that song because that was kind of fire. I heard that in my head. Like, we need to get some studio time.
Y'all singing.
I know, but I heard it. Like, I heard it over like a beat, bro. I'm telling you.
What? When it hits 10 minutes, another shot? Should we make this low-key progressively more?
See, the thing is that when we go on TikTok Live later, for the Sister Sound Off edition, I incorporated a game because our listeners, they get so personal with their questions and advices. So for the raw and relatable content that they asked us, because it is so personal, some of the questions, figured I'd give us an option to not answer by taking a shot. So what I will say is, yes, we can take a shot, but your ass probably gonna answer every fucking question that you might not want to answer just so you don't have your drink again. I'm just letting you know before the shit happens. So do not blame me.
Wait, what?
I'm saying, that's what I was about to say earlier. I don't know if you remember earlier when I was like, oh, I was about to ruin a segment, but I have no choice now. Because I need to make you aware before you start making these decisions. I'm taking another shot. That's all I'm trying to say. If you don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck, because guess what? It's the mid-season finale, bitch. I don't care either. I have a responsibility to give you some context. But like I said, if you don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck.
I'll just wait. If the game involves that, I'll just wait.
Yes, because it's between 6 and 8 questions. So I'm saying that's 8 chances for you to be like, just give me the shot. I'm not answering that shit. You feel me?
Bro, find shit. You know you out there. Find shit. If you watch my podcast, bro, and I know you do, just slide my way, bro. Stop playing, bro. Just slide my way, bro. It's like, come on now.
All right. So before we really, really deep delve into Megan Thee Stallion, because y'all, you know, we are part of the Hottie universe. I also just want to give Megan her flowers real quick because she deserves it. And it's been like a lot of scrutiny around her name, and I really just don't appreciate it. We don't appreciate it. And so we just wanted to add some positivity and just, you know, genuineness to the headlines, because I don't know Megan Thee Stallion personally. However, what she's done for music, the art of hip hop, with both of us being hip hop heads, going all the way back to, you know, Jay-Z, Nas, Biggie, Tupac, A Tribe Called Quest. Like, we could keep going on and on. Andre 3000, J. Cole, Drake. There are so many beautiful rappers. In the midst of mumble rap and the nonsense, there are a lot of good African-American rappers that still uphold the art of hip-hop that we appreciate. N.W.A./Ice Cube/, you know. Okay, so anyway, when we talk about ambition, Megan Thee Stallion is one of the first names that comes to mind. She's not just a rapper, she's a force, a blueprint, and a reminder that adversity doesn't have the final say-so. Megan unfortunately lost her mother and grandmother during the height of her rise, all while navigating the pressures of fame and the weight of public scrutiny. She's been judged, she's been underestimated, and even dragged through painful legal battles. But through it all, she kept standing tall, embodying the resilience of a true survivor. And while the world tried to box her in, Megan doubled down on herself. She finished college while touring, which we just talked about, brought us cultural moments like Hot Girl Summer. I still play that song to this day. Delivered powerful music like Traumazine and built partnerships with Nike, Revlon, and Popeyes. She's turned her name into a brand, her pain into power, and her ambition into an empire. So today we give Megan Thee Stallion her flowers, Megan Pete, a.k.a. Megan Thee Stallion. Not just for her success, but for reminding us that ambition is about more than what you achieve. It's about who you become while pushing through what was meant to break you. We love you, Megan.
Yeah, you can't see it. The pink roses to you.
Yes. And we manifest that we're going to have Megan on as a guest.
I'm trying to be like Deontay Kyle, man. I know I got some ways to go, especially with my humility, but Deontay Kyle, he, not going to lie, he's the blueprint for real.
All right. So from Houston roots to global stardom, let's talk about the adversity Megan faced, which was personal loss, industry battles, and public scrutiny. As far as personal loss, I can't relate 1,000% only because I don't have the same type of recognition and like stardom that she has. But I definitely do believe that when God blesses you with certain things, unfortunately, certain things must die. Whether that be an old habit, environment, you know, a habit, oh, I already said habit, I'm sorry, or a person, place, or thing. We've heard it so many times that, you know, people lose someone and then reach like a certain part of their life, or they reach a certain part of their life and then lose someone that they wanted to share it with or whatever. And I definitely can't understand that. There are like a lot of people like where I'm just like, dang, this is someone that has passed on now, but that I, you know, always thought and hope that they could enjoy this part of my life with me. Or like sometimes when you get to that part of success, you're like, dang, like I wonder what this person would act like or feel like or be like right now in the midst of this, because I always thought that they would be able to see it. And I really like what Regina King said in regard to her son Ian. She was on the show House Guest. Shout out to Scott Evans. That's another one of my favorite journalist podcasts.
I love
House Guest. And so Regina King was on House Guest with Scott Evans, and she was promoting the new wine that she has in honor of her son, Ian, who unfortunately passed away. And it's called Me and You. And it's so beautiful the way that it is. So it's a M in capital letters, and then it's Ian, I-A-N, and then it's a big U. So it's just like me and you. And so I thought that was beautiful, especially coming from someone that's in communications and marketing. That was perfect play on words and a beautiful name for that wine. But she was stating how the only time that a person passes on truly is when people stop talking about them or people don't know them anymore.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Blair's texting about the person that passed away, and she's like giving specific details. I don't want to hear that right now. Go ahead, continue.
Same. But yeah, she was saying positively, now that I'm navigating this new relationship with the person. And when she said that, I thought that was, first of all, so spiritually mature and aware. And it was so eloquent, because I think that the thing that people think about when someone transitions is automatically, I'm never going to see this person again. And if you believe in God, that's simply not true. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to see the person again. And then I also like how she stated the navigating the new relationship, because the relationship is not lost. It's just in a new form. It's a lot of people believe that they receive like signs of synchronicities from a certain person, you know, whether it be in times of trouble or just like a simple reminder that, hey, I'm not on earth, but I'm still here. And so I just really appreciated that she said that, because it was definitely like eye-opening, because I'm like, dang, that is very true. And coming from someone like her, I hate that she has to experience that and she's had to go through that to see. And I know that, you know, obviously this is just in front of the camera. I know that every day has not been easy for her, as it hasn't been for a lot of people going through grief. But for her to put on that brave face and speak just, I don't know, this is beautiful to me. Shout out to Regina King. Shout out to Regina King. But then also, like, the industry battles that she had. Let's talk about her with, I forget what that, we don't even need to say the record label name. That record label that she was in, that she had, like, the longest battle with. Showing adversity in that. I feel like, and this is very, like, sad to say, but I feel like the media almost makes people become desensitized to the things that she goes through, because she's been through so much publicly, and I'm sure that she's been through way much more personally. But it's, like, almost as if they're trying to desensitize us, like, from having empathy for her, because she goes through so much. And it's, like, you don't really don't realize how much she's been through until you actually, like, start saying it. And these are the things we know. We're just on the outside looking in. But I'm, like, this is only a portion of the shit that she's had to deal with. It's crazy to think about. And then also with the public scrutiny, we don't have to get too deep into that, but just being unfortunate. It's just unfortunate, the scrutiny that she has to deal with, that is just so unfair and just so deeply rooted in ignorance. It's not even rooted in truth. That's the sad part.
What is he talking about? Go where?
All right. This is our second shot to celebrate season 1, episode 5. Midge.
All right.
Definitely go edit that verb out. That was nasty. All right. So we talked about personal loss, industry battles, public scrutiny. We also acknowledge that she graduated college while on tour, created cultural moments like Hot Girl Summer, and turned all her setbacks into strength, especially with the traumazine era. It really broke my heart, but also gave me so much insight to who she is as a person, and that she genuinely is just a human being. When she performed on SNL, she began to get, like, emotional, like, in the middle of the performance, because what she was speaking about and rapping about was true. And that was probably one of the, I mean, outside of, like, them saying, like, you know, like, them announcing, like, Megan Thee Stallion's gone past, da da da. Outside of that, that was really, like, one of the first times where I feel like I physically, like, saw my heart for her beat out my chest. Because that was so real and so raw and just very vulnerable. It just made me appreciative of, like, her artistry, because that means that she's authentic. You know, if you can cry about what you're rapping about, you did the damn job. I'm sad that you had something to cry about, though. But I'm saying that's ambition. That's literally the definition. Like, you know, using the gift that God gave you and helping catalyze your resilience and healing. I appreciated her as an artist that way. And so I just think that the lesson that we can get from Megan is ambition thrives when you just stay true to yourself, even when you're tested. She went through so many things, like we said, public legal battles, graduating college during a world tour, family losses, and a lot of public scrutiny, but she made something of herself. And look at her now, you know, like, she's thriving. So I would say next, let's talk about ambition as both our long-term and short-term girls. Short-term goals and the everyday commitments that we have to, you know, embarking on ambition and helping it with our alignment. For me, the first thing that I would say for ambition is I get up every morning, because I don't have to at all, but I get up every morning. That's the first thing I do. I get up every morning, and that's the first step to an attempt to even try to have a good day, is first even trying to get on with your day. The second thing I do is I pray for strength to keep me going. What are some things that you do that help, that you would say are ambitious and help with your everyday commitment?
I would say what helps my ambitions is admitting that I'm wrong, being able to take 5 steps back, like the humility, being able to take 5 steps back so that I can then take 10 steps forward. I think that being aware and of where you stand or like what mistakes you could possibly be making or any ways that you can strengthen yourself, looking at weaknesses and turning them into strengths. I think that's one of the things that I steadily try to work on. I try to strengthen that skill of turning my weaknesses into strength.
Right.
Constantly, like all the time, or just like constantly learning. I'm always trying to learn. I think that's one of like my most ambitious features is that I'm just very curious. I can go down a rabbit hole of pretty much anything. I'd say praying, like prayer leads, it kind of drives my ambitions as well. I try to
absolutely
pray. Yeah, I try to pray, if not when I wake up in the mornings, every single time before I go to bed. Like I'm constantly talking to God throughout the day. I think most people don't realize that, but they constantly do, be it through prayer or if they see something and they go, oh God, like they go, oh, you know, like today's like, you know, da, da, da. They look up at the sky. You're constantly talking or thinking of him. And I try to do that. Like I always try to take those moments where them small moments where I'm just like praying for my food to say, and I love you. I thank you. Like you've done so much for me. I know your path, like my path and my role is, you know, it's going to show or something like that. Like I always try to do that every single time I have a goal or anything or like a new step that I want to take or a chapter that I want to kind of lead into. I always try to pray over it. Just have a couple words, be it to myself or to him. You know, just if this is the path I'm meant to take, you know, may you light it up, lead the way, make sure, you know.
I like that. Light it up.
Yeah, like
you just know. Show me where to go.
Yeah, because I mean, it's like when Madea, like you know what Tyler Perry be saying, especially in Big Happy Family, like he can show you the way, but like he's the GPS, but you don't know if there's gonna be road closures. You don't know if there's, you know, if you're gonna have to take a detour, if a bridge is closed, something like that. They're doing construction. It's gonna take you 45 extra minutes to do this or that, which might be a year and a half or something. So just, you know, not constantly praying, but also at the same time, yes, if you feel the need to pray, then pray, of course.
Well, excuse me. Thank you.
Anyways, that's my ambition. My hatred is also my ambition. My disdain for the bullshit is my ambition.
But anyway, all right, so let's move on so I can go on TikTok Live. Okay, so what I would say would be the reflection prompt for you guys is, what does ambition look like for you? And, you know, are you chasing, are you healing, or are you holding steady? So that's your homework for this week. Figure out what your ambition looks like, because as Jasmine said, it's different. Excuse me, for everyone. It does involve a certain depth of greed and selfishness, because ambition is all about how much you believe in yourself and how much worth you place into your beliefs. And are you going to hold it over everything else in your life in order to get to where you want to go? And we're not talking about betraying people and stuff like that. That's not what we're talking about. We're genuinely just talking about other things in your life. And it's basically just as simple as this: prioritizing. Are you going to prioritize what you want over these other things? Your goal should be up here. Everything else falls down here. Well, God first, but then, yeah, you guys know what I mean. All right, so now, let's hit this sister sound off real quick. All right, y'all, we about to answer some questions and give advice. If you need anything, comment down below, and we'll definitely be sure to answer for you. This is our segment entitled The Sister Sound Off, where we answer all of you guys' questions that you guys sent in. They are strictly anonymous. However, if you do ask what's in here, they will be shown to everyone. All right, so this segment is not just about us. It's about you. Grab your wine, grab your Hennessy, you know, whatever you need, because we're about to reset live. So our first deep dive debate would be, would you rather date someone broke with ambition or rich with absolutely no drive? Comment down below, you know?
I'd rather date someone. How does someone rich with no drive work? I'd rather date someone broke with ambition, because broke is temporary. So is richness as well. And if your mindset doesn't follow your money, then you're not going to sustain for very long.
So what Jasmine said, you guys, is she said that she doesn't understand how being rich with no mindset works. I definitely do. I feel that anyone that's like a trust fund baby or someone that hasn't had to work for money, they just have it. You can easily have no drive because you haven't had to work for shit. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of those people definitely do work hard and you know, they put forth effort in order to grow up to their family's tree or whatever. But if there are some people that already have money and what they need to work hard for. So they rich, but they boring as hell because they don't got no drive, no determination, no nothing. They already have everything. So what do they have to do? As far as someone that's broke with ambition, I personally don't mind it. I've dated someone like that. I'd never look at people for financial purposes or gain. However, I do understand how some people can be turned off because like we were talking about in the last one, everyone that doesn't have money, most of the time, those people are not very nice because a lot of people are not able to handle, you know, strife and struggle without projecting or, you know, taking something out on me. I personally don't mind. As long as you, if there's a will, there's a way. And I've been broke with no money. And then literally the next day, God makes something happen for me. And now I got it. So being broke doesn't mean anything because your life can change just like that. If you're putting forth work every day, it's just a matter of time before something happens for you. But for me personally, a lot of the people that I have dated that don't have money or that are broke are not nice. And I don't know why that is, but they're not nice all the time. Hi guys. We're just talking about, would you be able to date someone that is broke with ambition or would you date someone that is rich with no determination whatsoever? So let us know down below. So yeah, I understand both sides, honestly. Well, hi guys. Comment down below, would you date someone that is either rich with ambition or... I mean, I'm sorry. I said that all wrong because like, why would you not date someone that's rich? Okay. Comment down below. Would you date someone that is rich with no ambition? They don't care. No determination. Or would you date someone that is broke with ambition? Personally, like I keep saying, I would date either or. I would date either or. It really just depends. It really depends. It depends on the person's mindset. Because everybody, I feel like you said, in order to have ambition, you know, you have to have like a certain thing about yourself where everything that you want and like, and you got peace.
Yeah. I can get to the top.
Yes, but anyway, so comment down below, y'all. I'm going to just keep saying this over and over again. The question is, would you date someone that is broke that has ambition, or would you date someone that is rich and just boring as fuck? Which one? Broke with ambition or rich and boring? Like we was just saying that normally people that are broke are mean. They're mean. I don't care whether you have money or not, but the people that I've dated that don't have money are mean as fuck. And that's all I gotta say about that. I wanna take this off. All right, next question is, has social media ruined modern love or just exposed the truth? What do y'all think? Has social media ruined modern love or has it just exposed the truth?
Both. I think it's done.
Yeah, break down.
It's corrupted both. I think it's given people the idea of what their relationship should look at when should look like when it should be organic. And however you learn to love and have a relationship, okay? But I also feel like it has certain things we thought we went through by ourselves. And with a lot of topics and subjects on social media, we learned that it's actually pretty relatable. And I think at the beginning, it was exposing the truth / the relatability of dating life and modern love and stuff like that. But it has turned around into this oversaturation of advice that doesn't even necessarily fit you, advice from non-professionals. Like, I understand sometimes it's a lot of big sister, big bro talk and stuff like that. And then other times we've allowed the toxic culture to completely rule the dating scene. Now, sometimes you can't even differentiate when someone's playing a game with you or if they're being authentic. And that's also fed into our social life as well. A lot of the social friendly programming that we do, like a lot of our platonic relationships have been ruined because of that, because we have turned everything so sexual instead of romantic. I think we've actually made sexual dating a thing. The casual dating is actually sexual dating. You're just sexually attracted to someone. You're not actually building up the of a relationship or the foundation of a relationship and everything that you could possibly need in that, like the comfortability to even have an open relation, like open communication or something like that. I think that social media has ruined modern love, but it also exposes, it also shines a light on the good relationships. Like we do still have good role models out there. I just think that it's an oversaturation of toxic culture that everyone's actually starting to rely on because they see it more than the healthy love, especially healthy Black love. Like we're starting to get that portrayed in the movies and TVs and stuff now. And can we go back to the basics? Can we get that back on social media, please? Like Ronnie and Keith Lee should not be the only people. Tabitha and her husband should not be the only people. Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade should not be the only people. Like I see like the, like, yes, sometimes it's a lot of jokes and stuff like that, you know, but once again, rage baiting has become so normalized and like just saying whatever that I don't think it's either way, it's not, you know, abnormal. So I'm voting both.
I agree. I think that social media itself hasn't necessarily ruined it. I think, like you said, it's the culture that is associated with social media that ruins relationships. Because once again, everybody is worried about what the next person is doing, what it looks like to the next person, instead of just living for yourself. Social media in regard to a relationship should just be you showcasing your love. It should not be an act of measurement. It should not be transactional. Putting my relationship out here for validation reasons. It should genuinely just be, I want y'all to see what my relationship looks like. I want to show my partner off. I want to let them know how much I love them by letting everybody else know. Like, I feel like that should be the only thing. It shouldn't be anything else. And I think that's where the problem lies, is that it's like, it turns into debates of like, you believe in 50-50, you're paying 100%. On the first date, what should I do? Should I take her to Roots Chris or should we just chill at my house? I don't want to be in a relationship. I just want to, you know, have sex. So I'm just going to be in a situationship, but I still want the girl to only want me, but I still want to do what the fuck I want to do. It's just like, just stop telling everybody, okay? So tell everybody your damn business because everybody ain't going to agree. And everybody don't need to agree because that's your business. As Tabitha Brown said, just do you. Like I said, social media should just be a showcase to let people know what it is that you want. I mean, what it is that you want to showcase. You know, oh, I have a beautiful lady. Oh, I have a beautiful man. You know, my relationship is beautiful. Da, 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 da. But that's about it. Like, everything else is just annoying. All right, next question. Is cheating always a deal breaker or can true love survive it? I'm going to let you answer this. Is cheating?
Oh my God, why I got the filter through the camera?
Is cheating a deal breaker? Come on, let me go get my DoorDash. Keep talking.
I don't like this filter. I just want to let y'all know this. Things freak me out when I don't look like myself. But anyways, cheating, I feel, is always a deal breaker. I really could give less than a hell what you say. I don't think true love, like, love is not enough to a long-term relationship, so it doesn't matter if true love can survive cheating. Can your relationship survive the cheating and true love? How about that? I don't think people realize it at the end of the day. Also, it depends on the basis of what, like, either way, it's a deal breaker, but also the severity of the situation or whether or not you could think you could even go back depends on the basis of how they cheated or something like that. Was it emotional cheating, physical, all of the above? Was it with someone personal to you? Was it someone that they didn't even know? Like, certain things, because no matter what, though, at the end of the day, like, a trust was broken, like, they betrayed, you've shown out for them time and time again, I'm guessing, in a good situation, a healthy situation, you've shown up for them time and time again throughout the relationship. And that's how it feels. They just shit it in your face. So you figure out if that's a deal breaker for you. Because that's also something. It also depends on how you grew up. If you ain't grew up with that many boundaries or that many, you know, it's just certain things. Like, it takes a village to raise someone. And throughout my village, like, I've learned certain things. Like, you'll never be able to call me a bitch. If a man, like, if someone of the opposite gender calls me a bitch, or really anybody, I don't take that as a form of respect. I think that you playing around. You think that I'm the person to play with. No. 495 is a better place to play to me. If you're from the B&B, you know what I'm talking about. Like, that Suitland Parkway is a better place to play to me.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Indian Head Highway is a safer place to play than with me if you call me a bitch. I just think that that's not a word that should be tossed around so lightly, especially when it comes to Black women, because there's a real, like, stigma around Black women being called bitches and shit, especially in, like, hip-hop culture. Why would I take that from someone that I think of highly, that I love? So people know not to call me a bitch, or at least I hope they know. If they didn't know, now you know. Don't call me a bitch unless you want to be fought. Simple as that. I've always said that. I've fought links over that. I've fought ex-boyfriends over that and girlfriends. Don't call me a bitch. That's not a sign of respect. My dad told me that if anyone who calls you that does not respect you, and I take that to heart every day. Yep. If you grew up with a lifestyle where, I mean, in a household or an environment where they say that cheating is a distraction or something, they really love you, that's what you're going to believe. And that's also the thing, is that it doesn't matter what social media says. If you grew up a certain way, you grew up a certain way, especially if you grew up in a different country or a different culture. How the hell am I supposed to tell you how it goes if that's what you learn? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Great. Glad that you're off of me. Good God. Let me confirm my age. Never mind.
All right. So we are moving on to the second segment, which is raw and relatable. So once again, you all lay your heart on the line for your sister's sound off. So this is the time for you to ask us personal and juicy questions. We selected questions from you all through a form on the website. Once again, please join our Soul and Brothers community forum at www.thesundayreset.com. Join it for free. We like to have fun with you guys, discuss. You can talk in there whenever you want. So, consequently, if we do not want to answer the question, we have to take two shots. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 questions. We already took two shots, so I'm probably going to answer each and every single one and regret it later. I might take a shot. Let us see. First question. If your ex called you right now saying they still love you, would you answer or would you ignore him? I'll let you go first since I read it.
Say it again.
If your ex called you right now saying they still love you, would you answer the phone or ignore it?
Saying they still love me? I know they bullshitting. My problem is I'd fall for the rage bait. I'm not going to cap. I'd be like, the fuck? No, you did not. If we ended, you didn't fucking love me then. Like, I would have to call them to prove them wrong. Like, obviously you didn't. That's the reason why we're not together.
You know what I would just do? I was like, whatever. I love you too.
Yeah, so we're both answering the phones, but for different reasons. Mine's is to cuss them out and see how the fuck they bullshitting, and hers is to say, I love you back.
I'd be like, I love you too.
So you're taking
a shot? What else do you want?
You're taking a shot? Yeah.
No, I answered the question.
It's only if you don't answer the question.
Right, yeah. All right, next question. What's the lowest moment you've had after a breakup that you've never told anyone about? You guys can answer too. What's the lowest moment you've had after a breakup that you've never told anyone about? I feel like I just got out of the damn lowest moment. And I don't think it's nothing that don't nobody know. I was depressed as fuck. I didn't understand what the fuck was going on. Didn't like it. Didn't like how the person made me feel. Still don't like how the person made me feel. So, honestly, there ain't nothing I haven't said. I was very depressed. I was at a very low point, wondering, like, what the fuck happened? Was I worthy? Was I not enough? You know, just a regular shit. And then, obviously, you know, I bumped my head on some damn scent. No change. And I realized there's nothing fucking wrong with me. There's something wrong with you.
I don't know if I've ever had a low moment. I'm not going to lie. I mean, probably drinking. That's it. But, like, I do that anyways. Excuse me.
Damn. Yeah, I'm missing the sister more than I'm missing him. Well, I'll be there. All right, there. Okay. Second thing. Have you ever been the side chick or had one?
Have I ever been one or had one?
Mm-hmm.
Never been one. Will not answer the second one. Well, actually, I don't know. The thing about this generation is that I don't know if I was. Like, I had a girlfriend who she found out that she was not the main the entire time, even though she thought she was. So, like, I can say with full confidence that I was never a side chick, but I can actually not say with full confidence I was never a side chick. Like, that's kind of sad, but yeah.
Because I feel like in this generation, do you really know? Do you really know if you were a side chick or not? Because niggas lie.
Do I count as a side chick if I was dating a person going through a divorce?
Going through it, yes, because they were not divorced yet.
Well, then I'm
if they still had proceedings legally, there was, yes, you were the side chick.
That was so degrading to me. Not even when a person was going through a divorce.
That I basically can say, honestly, I've been a side chick because
I, obviously, if I would have known the person was going through a divorce, I wouldn't have been. I didn't know.
See?
I didn't know she was going through a divorce until, like.
Trust me, they know their side chicks. Queer, right?
Hmm?
Koya, okay, Koya. Koya assured me. She said, yeah, trust me, they know their side chicks. Thank you, Koya.
But yeah, like, I feel like that's not fair. I shouldn't be able to be the side chick because I didn't fucking know. But technically, I was. I didn't know he was going through a divorce until a year after we had stopped dating.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, what's the next question?
What's the pettiest reason you ever cut someone off?
They said, oh, I bet you got a bunch of other niggas in your DMs. You right, so I cut him off. I made his wish come true.
Dang.
My fault. What was that, the wind? Was that the wind? My God.
Dang.
Oh, my God.
The reason I've ever cut someone off.
That's not even the pettiest reason. Huh?
Man with lips will tell a lie. You damn skiffy. You damn skiffy.
Pettiest reason I've ever cut someone off.
I don't think I have one, honestly. Because I don't feel like any of the reasons was petty for me. Thank you, Hogwarts party.
Oh my God, no. Someone, okay, I have cut someone off for some pretty petty shit. Like, actually a lot of things, a list of things. Not gonna cap. Hold on, okay. The pettiest reasons I've cut someone off, they were too grown and using too many different damn emojis. If you're over the age of 25 and you can't use good punctuation or grammar, and you use too many goddamn emojis, get the fuck off my line, bruh. Get out of here with that shit. Let me just go down the list too, okay? Chewing too loud. Get the fuck out of here, all right? Texting K instead of okay. That follows into the punctuation and grammar. Get the fuck out of here. Right? They never cash at me day $16 for a fucking food. But then they decided to get on my ass about $1.64 I didn't give them for damn McChicken and some other shit. Get the fuck off my line. Okay? Messy, like, I mean, just all the time. One time, I really was because, oh my goodness gracious, who the fuck is this?
Wait, Koya said, I didn't like the way he ate his food.
Yeah, oh, wait. Okay. Goodbye.
If we're going to say that, then I can say for me, it was probably chapped lips. I don't fuck with that chapped lip shit.
Oh, but,
I mean, you literally go past Carmex, Blistex, EOS. You go past that shit every single time you're in the grocery store. They at the end of every damn aisle, even when you in self-checkout or in the regular checkout lane, they are right next to the damn gum. It's server. Why don't you pick the shit up?
Yes.
Like that. Like, why do you want your lips to be white? Why you want to lick your lips every 10 seconds? The shit is nasty. I don't like that. If your lips got more cracks in them, then fucking, I ain't going to say that. That was about to be bad. But if your lips got cracks in them, grow up. That's all I'm saying.
Hold on. I got people asking me. Okay. No, one, I'll probably say that. Okay. Two of the pettiest reasons I had cut someone off. I was talking about a show with them. I think it was an anime too. And I was like really excited to watch this anime. Like, I mean, so bad. And they just kept talking. They were like, oh my God, I watched that too. And then literally explained the entire first season to me. Get the fuck out my face. I wanted to grab their two lips and staple it together. But I can't say that. I'm supposed to be sitting there looking pretty or whatever. I did say shut the fuck up, though. I said, hold on. I didn't watch the season yet. I said, shut the hell up. I said, I didn't watch the shit yet. So,
you warned him.
Yeah, so chill out. And they was like, no, I'm not gonna spoil it. But like his mom, dad, and stuff like that. And I went, oh my God. I went, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I mean, like, I wasn't actually like that. But like, I'm like, in my head, I'm like raging so bad. Like, I've been watching the trailers. Like, I've been nerding out over this shit. And you just told me the entire first fucking season. Hey, Have a good day, mate. Like, get the fuck out of my face. That shit irritated me so goddamn bad. Or when I was on a first date with someone and they touched my food.
Touch your food? What the hell?
Like, if I ask you at the beginning, like, I'm very nice. Do you want to eat my food? Do you want to try? Because I'm like, I'm chatting up. I'm a yapper. Have you ever tried? Like, I don't go to boring whenever I go out on a date. Like, we're usually somewhere where a person hasn't been or like something, whatever. But I'm like, we was just like at a seafood boy place. And I'm like, oh, like, you never had this in a seafood boy. Do you want to try the mussels or something like that? And before I even, like, they was like, no. Like, you ain't got to. Like, da-da-da. And then, like, I turn around and their hand is in my bag. Even turned back around. They was grabbing a mussel out of my bag. Get the fuck back, you big bitch. I just asked you, did you want some?
They're literally putting your entire hand in the bag. But another thing that I can't stand when it comes to seafood boils is a person that will come in there and will just, like, get, like, a bag of nothing else. You're not going to get a crab leg. You're not going to get a scallop, a lobster tail, a mussel, green, black, clam, crawfish, something. You're just going to get a damn bag of shrimp, potatoes, and sausage, and corn. And they're like, and I don't want the egg.
Yeah.
And long in seafood boils. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. That's why they're there. Extra corn, please.
Oh.
Exactly. Like, why the fuck we going to a damn seafood boil? That is shrimp. I could have made this shit for you at home. Probably got them on sale for $9 to 89 cents.
Yeah. Or like, oh my goodness gracious. Like, they referred to, or like, if they're like a picky eater, like, because I'm like, I'm not a picky eater, but I can be a routine eater. Like, if I like something over, like, if I like something very much, I will most likely eat that over and over and over again. Like, yeah, until I get tired of it or something like that. But, like, I will also try so many different cuisines. Like, I really don't like fast foods like that. If I do, it might be something like Chipotle or, like, I don't know, if I go to a restaurant, it's usually, like, Chili's or something. I'm not, it's a rarity that you're going to see me at, like, Applebee's or something or Domino's. I don't know, like, unless I'm at home. I don't know. Like, I'll eat Popeyes and Bojangles back at home. I'll eat Cookout, but, like, in the South. A lot of the times it's also like the food quality, I think, is kind of better down in the South or to some degree. Like, Bojangles is not going to be the same in Pennsylvania that it's going to be like in fucking Atlanta. It's just not. It's not. But like, yeah. So like, if someone like, if I'm trying different foods like ramen, Korean food, African food, Caribbean food, like I'm eating African food and I'm eating like okra soup and fufu or something like that, and you tell me that you don't want to even at least try it, like, or you're just like totally disgusted, it's okay if you don't like something. But if you're like, ew, like I'm not eating that shit, like, ew, bro, like that's disgusting, go fuck yourself. You don't have to, like, you didn't have to do all that.
Hey, both of y'all,
huh,
coming for my other hubby, Tyreek. Because you just said that. Tyreek does that, literally. And then Ashley said, at least they ordered seafood because they're busy. That's exactly what they ordered. Got into a whole damn argument with the waitress. Ketchup package, they ain't have the ketchup bottom. He was like, I need more ketchup. She came over and gave him like a thing of ketchup. And then she was like, and you better use all of them too. This is what the waiter says to him. So he said, and I am. And he did.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Like, it's the same thing. Me and Kiana saw pineapple mango juice, the Dole refreshers, like the actual can of pure juice. So we get them as a chaser, right?
Yeah.
How'd he go like this? He says, let me try. He tapes it. He goes, like, nah, that was all right. Like, nigga, it's juice. What do you mean that was all right? It's juice. What's all right about it?
That's what... Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, I just put in, yeah, like what? Like, when we be going to K-Pop and our fucking cousin get just fried chicken, get the fuck out of here.
What cousin?
CJ was just about to get fried chicken.
He actually eats the food, though, so I don't understand why he would have did that.
He said at first he was just going to get that, and then he was like, and then he saw, like, the entire, like, bar open, and he was like, oh, I can get these toppings, and da-da-da-da. Like, he's like, okay, I like this. He's like, okay, I like this, da-da-da-da. But at first he was just going to get freaking fried chicken. Like, I've asked to take somebody there, usual suspect. Like, I'm like, okay, there's a spot opening in Pittsburgh. I even got Barry to eat there. My friend Ashawn, he's not a picky, but he don't like certain things. And he also can't eat, like, seafood or whatever. So, like...
He did good, too, because he got good.
And he ate a lot of stuff. He really enjoyed it. So, I'm like, okay, like, I'm telling my friends, like, you know, okay, I got this Boom, I got this shit back at home. My sister put me on to called K-Pop. That's, we're finna have a location in Pittsburgh. I think it opened this summer. If not, it should be opening in the spring or something. So I'm like, okay, like, I want to go. Like, we're going to go out there. And there's a whole bunch of other locations opening up, but they're just not K-Pop, because K-Pop has, like, all the prices in one. All the other hot pot places and stuff like that, you got to pay, like, you have to add this, 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 and this, and this, this, and that, and stuff like that. Then you got to add your protein. Then you got to add this. And all of that is separate prices. Nah, K-Pop just put that into one. And then whatever else extra is on top of that. So I'm like, I'm waiting for the K-Pop spot to open up. And I say it to this person. And they like, oh, I don't that, like that's too much going on. Like, I, like, that's too much, like sitting down and doing all that. Like, I could just cook at home. I could just cook at home. You're going to fucking make bulgogi at home? You're going to make tom yum soup at home? No, you're not, you uncultured swine. Let's go to K-Pot. Like, what? Talking out your ass.
Hey, y'all.
Okay, this question, I'm just gonna take a shot. Are you still friends with your ex, or have you cut ties completely?
Ooh, hey yo, give me that shot right now. Hey, hey.
About that motherfucker.
Hey, my friend Andrew. Andrew does the big guy. Hey, hey, big guy.
We're not answering that. Sorry to disappoint.
Yeah, since we on TikTok live, I gotta see if he answered. If not, then that's cool. He probably sleep. Oh, yeah. Fine. He might be sleeping. Yeah. He got a grown job. Grown job. Okay, I'm taking a half shot. It's only Wednesday night.
Who the ex is?
Smoking on my X-Pack tonight. You can't trust Danny.
Who the ex is, y'all? Fuck them niggas. Why did you just hold the drinks? Look at fucking samurai, bro. You don't even wait. Why did you do that?
Because I need to. I smelled it, and it didn't sit right with me for a second. So I had to prove it.
This is what I'm taking a shot of.
All right, we got to finish up. I got to cook dinner.
I need the bottle. Girl, I told your ass earlier.
You don't know this. You don't know this shot. Yeah. Maybe we'll start singing Fortune by my.
Lethal. Shout out to Hennessy. All right. What's one toxic trait that you know you have, but low-key don't want to change?
Nonchalantness.
I concur.
I didn't grow up with very emotional parents, so that's not a given for me.
Hi, y'all. So the question was, what's one toxic trait that you know you have but low-key don't want to change? Jasmine said nonchalantness.
I think it allows me to actually be able to just sit back for a second, and it gives me, it's not necessarily nonchalantness. I just think I have a certain level of, like, I just have a emotional dysregulation. So I have a delay in my emotional responses. So it actually gives me a second to go, oh, like, hold on. I know I'm supposed to feel some way about this, but it's not exactly setting with me right now. I literally have no emotions in the moment of, like, in the moment of impact or whatever you want to say. So I think I kind of use that as a way to be like, okay, I know they probably wanted me to feel some kind of way when they said this, but I'm not going to allow them to get to me like that. Now, sometimes I act off. For the people who don't know, I have ADHD. So it's one of those things. And it's a side where I'm leaning on the spectrum. Certain, like, I didn't necessarily get to understand or read my emotions until probably like actually 2 years ago, to be for real. I'm not saying that I didn't have any, but I didn't necessarily understand or could compute them, I guess, interpret them that well. Like, I know the except what they teach you in kindergarten. I think nonchalantness has me out. It's kind of made my disorganized emotions is a better word. It's organized attachment.
My attachment style is very toxic. Because I hold on till I can't anymore. Like, I give my all to people. Just so, like, at the end of the day, if things go wrong, I personally, it's just kind of like an ego boost for me. Because if things go wrong at the end of the day, I can clearly say I did everything I could. I have no regrets, no nothing. I gave you my all. But the thing about that is why it's so toxic is you give your all until you completely hate the person, basically. Because it's a very thin line between love and hate. Keep it strong. And so I'm just like, I make sure that I give every ounce of myself before I completely annihilate you, and then once I do that, there's no coming back from it. Whereas if I were to respect the boundaries that I've set first, it probably wouldn't have even had to get to that point, because some people do respect boundaries that you place. You know, if you tell a person I'm not fucked with it, da, 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 there are people that will rise to the occasion.
But me, I wait till the last minute. I'm thinking I'm giving someone the benefit of the doubt, giving them grace. And in reality, I'm teaching them how to get away with shit over and over and over and over and over again. When it's really not what I want for myself, it doesn't align with anything that I have set for the requirements in my head. And then now, by the time the person is ready to fix it, I'm ready to throw them away. Because I don't fucking associate. I don't even look at you as a human anymore. So it's very toxic. But honestly, I really don't want to change it because I just feel like I shouldn't have to tell you what you know is wrong. The things that people do to me, it's not like, oh, I didn't know that that hurt your feelings. Like, no, you knew that you was the fucked up individual. You knew what you was doing was fucked up. And you knew you was fucking me up when you was doing it, but you didn't give a fuck. So now I don't give a fuck.
You knew you was fucking up. You knew it was fucking me up. And you still fucked up.
You still fucking did it. So now it's on you. Like, I kind of feel bad because it's like, dang, I definitely could have told you ahead of time. You know what I mean? But it's like, I did tell you ahead of time. Now I'm just blunt with it and just, I don't have any more emotion for you. But if someone literally goes like this 10 times, that really hurt my feelings. You know, I love you, but that really hurt my feelings. Honest to God, I'm trying, but that really hurt my feelings. I keep telling you that really hurt my feelings. And then now it's like, I don't give a fuck. You hurt my feelings. Now I'm about to hurt yours. I bet. And then now I was like, oh, but wait, no, I only understood it the last time. Yeah, you understood it the last time because I was being disrespectful to you. I was speaking in your fucking language because you disrespect me. But I told you respectfully 10,000 times. You just wasn't listening because you just assumed that that's how I was always going to be. But what people don't understand is that extremely nice people, the other side is also just as extreme, if not worse. So if I'm extremely nice to you all the time, don't underestimate me and think that I can never be mean. I absolutely can be mean. And I can be extremely mean. It's just I just don't want to be. But now you pushed me all the way over there, so now I have no truth. And now you want me to feel bad for you because you're like, wait a second, who is this? Who is this person? No, this is the person you fucking asked for. You asked. You know that video, that girl in CVS of that white lady that came up to the black lady and pushed her into the thing. And when she turned around, she started like running off. And when she turned around, the black lady literally got over her legs and was like, I gave you what you fucking wanted. I gave you what you fucking wanted. That's literally me in my head. Like, I gave you what the fuck you wanted, bro. I let you slide. I let you talk your shit. But you literally just pushed me over the edge. So now I gotta beat your ass. Seriously, of course. So yeah, that was over the top. But okay. All right, let's move. Let's move on to the Sister Sound Off segment where people send us any questions. They are strictly anonymous. We are not going to reveal the names of these people. We broke it down into, what is this, four subjects? We broke it down into four subjects. So the first one, can you be in love with two people at the same time?
That's what Erykah Badu's next lifetime.
I get lost in my
life. Now what am I supposed to do when I want you in my world? How can I want you for myself? When I'm already someone's girl. Last time that I saw you, oh, it was a warm and lovely day. I love you. I hope you look my way. It's gonna be so lonely. I could not sleep. You made me feel like a little bitty girl. What are you doing to me?
So see, like, that song, that whole entire song is about her liking someone else but not being able to because she already got a partner. So she's saying, I'm going to just see you next lifetime.
Yeah, we'll be butterflies.
See, like, it's, you know, it's,
You say it like that, too.
Yeah.
But I guess I'll see you next month. You know I want to stay a while.
Hey, bro, I dealt with that last summer. Not gonna cap. I'm really telling on myself, but the shit over, so I really don't give a fuck. But, like, I met someone as a friend that we really clicked with that I knew, like, I knew that it probably, like, if I was not with the person that I was with, it would have been more. And I had to cut it off because I could feel my feelings just...
Family is wilding, brother.
I am a Jamaican man in my heart. And so, for real, I'm a Jamaican man. I love multiple women. Like,
we got a song. We got another song. You know what I'm talking about? Love 'em all by K. Michelle.
Huh?
Love 'em all by K. Michelle.
Jacob Lattimore. What? It doesn't matter, because I know where you are. What? But, excuse me, hold on. We're missing the best one. Okay?
Wait, are you gonna go back school? Like old school?
Like a long, hair, thick, red bone. Open up the star, I'ma play me on that bus. Cause we like her, and we like her too, and we like her, and we like her too. And I wish I could fuck all the girls in the world, all the boys in the world. I'm bisexual, well, so it's all girls in the world. Oh,
yeah, that's real.
We need to get him studio.
Hey, Koya said it gives In My Mind by Heather Headley.
Please don't start with that.
Now your mama just the other day.
God, that girl was about to eat me alive over that song, Queen. Why was she just tricking me like that?
Hey, you. Oh, wait, I can go back. I can go back if you want. I got a side chick song. That's my favorite, one of my favorite side chick songs, for.
You know what my favorite side chick song is?
What?
Baby, you can't have.
That's what I mean, all of me. Because I'm not totally free.
I can't tell
you everything that's going on. Babe, there's a few things in my past that cannot be explained.
Please.
Hush. No questions asked. Lay back and relax. I do love you. Kick off your shoes. Let your pretty head down.
Now, baby. I'm giving you a piece of my love.
You can have a piece of my love. Oh, you gotta do the playing no games.
Girl, it's true.
Oh. I do love you. You can have a piece of my love for you. Girl, it's true. I do love you. Betty Wright's catalog is
All I Love for You.
Hey, oh, a few stolen moments is all that we share.
You got your family,
and I need you to resist being last on your list. But no, I got some for you.
Come on, falsetto. I like that.
Yeah. You say be patient. Just wait a little longer. That's just a whole fantasy.
We literally just did like a whole damn Tyler Perry concert. It was definitely giving Aunt Bam, Hattie, and everybody in between. Shout out to Cheryl Pepsi Riley. Okay. So the first anonymous joke is, I've been with my girlfriend for 2 years, but I caught real feelings for my sneaky link. The crazy part, they both know each other and neither has left me yet. I swear I love them both, but I'm scared I'll lose everything if I choose wrong.
Are you
Nick, in a first relationship? You done lost your self-respect. You done lost your self-esteem. You done lost your self-worth. Why are you even doing that to yourself? You know damn well, you can surely love two separate people, but be in love with two separate people, not possible. I think that's the problem, is that people don't understand the definitions of certain emotions. You can definitely have love for two separate people. You can have lust for two separate people, but to be in love with two different people at the same time is not possible, because to be in love requires 100% of you, not a part of you. So yeah, I'm sure this one got to the grippy grip. This one got the splash part. This one make you laugh. This one love your mama and your mama love her. This one rap better. This one can read better. You love them for two different things, but to be in love, you cannot be in love with two people at the same time. Just don't work like that.
Yeah, or like, say for the modern approach, if you're in a polyamorous relationship, but none of the women want to come to terms or reality with it, then that's a conversation you need to have with yourself. Maybe if you really do, if you really can't love more than one person, then you need to seek people who are willing to let you love more than one of them.
Right.
Because if they both know about each other, but neither of them have left you, but you're scared everything will lose, you will lose everything if you choose wrong. What are you choosing if they both know each other and neither of you have left? And the crazy part is, you're in a polyamorous relationship and you have the terms with it, my guy.
Yeah, because, or also, y'all just birds of a feather flock together. It sounds like all y'all got low self-esteem. Polygamy is different than being lied to and accepting the lie just because you want to stay with the person. Polygamy is a choice that you make from the jump, stating, I don't care if you with someone else, you don't care if I'm with someone else, but we also still want to be each other's focal points or one of each other's focal points or main priority. That's fine. I don't have no problem with polygamy. I'm talking about this motherfucker talking about something. I've been with this girl for 2 years and caught feelings for a sneaky link. You've been with someone for 2 years, but you have a sneaky link. Why? It doesn't make sense. And then the crazy part, they both know about each other. It's not crazy because niggas are not good cheaters. It's not crazy at all. You guys don't know how to lie. You guys don't know how to hide shit. Everybody always finds out. Whether it be a damn dream, you done left a condom in a trash can, you done left your phone on and didn't lock it and went to the bathroom and the bitch pops up. Whether it be we at the grocery store and we see somebody looking at us funny and then we realize that y'all follow each other and it's like,
but
it could be anything. Y'all we always find shit out. Like, y'all are not good cheaters.
But the bad part about that though is that there's a growing number of men who are getting these off successfully, or and women too, because that's not, yeah, all people cheat. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it's not just niggas.
But what I've noticed being near a college campus and working on one is that there's a growing number of women who are complacent with being that person because they find a novelty in them. They don't care if they're romantically desired upon. They just want to be sexually desired upon. They want to be the girl that everyone talks about. They want to be the bitty that everyone's seeking after because she got a good pum pum. She got good nani. She got this. She got that. But they don't think about the girlfriend that's been there for what. And most of the time, I'm sorry, the whole premise of this argument, apologies, is that they do think about the girlfriend. They know that they could take your man, or and they know that your man will come for them because it doesn't actually matter. They could be, the girl could be less attractive, more attractive. The girl could have different features. The girl could be white. You could be, the girlfriend could be black. It don't matter. Half of these people now who men cheating with are happy to be cheated with because they either have some situation that they're running from themselves, or they're okay with being sexualized in that manner because then they can get off on knowing that they got off you.
Which to me is so nasty because when I've been sought after by married men. Another story for another time. I've been sought after by married men and that shit disgusts me. It really disgusts me. Honestly, I saw something trending on Twitter that was saying that empathy, we don't have enough of that nowadays, and we truly don't. Because really think about it. First of all, if you wouldn't want something done to you, why are you doing it to someone else? That's number one. And then number two, everybody always thinks it can't happen to them until it does. Why does God always have to bring to your doorstep things that you already know are coming? You know what I'm saying? Like, you think that you got one up on somebody because you think you got one up on someone because you cheating with their husband or their wife. And it's like, do you realize that what he has done to that person, he will do to you if not worse? And half the time, the people that they be cheating with be falling in love and thinking that they're going to leave them for this person. They are not. They're not. They're not.
They're not.
They are. And if they do, you got a bigger thing coming because you got a fat ass shoes to fill. If you get a nigga to leave his wife, 9 times out of 10, what that nigga is coming over to you to do is not going to be something that you want. And that's how people get killed. That's how people get murdered. Because people ruin their lives for someone that didn't think about it. And then once they get to them, they're like, all right, babe, I'm about to make you serious. We about to be together. And then the person that you ended up cheating with, that's your mistress or the person, like the guy, they don't even really want you for real. They just enjoy the excitement of being a bitch. Now they kill me because they're like, I left my wife do this for you. Now you did. Over adultery.
Yeah.
Let's do the cousin one and then let's do the cheating. No, because we just talked about that. Let's do the private relationship one. Well, one of them. You can pick whichever one. But I want to do the cousin one because I just feel like we need to talk about that.
The what one?
The cousin one. I failed for my best friend's cousin. You want me to read it or you going to read it?
Failed for my best friend's cousin while I was already in a relationship. Now every family cookout feels like a love triangle in disguise. Is it possible to love two people or am I just messy?
And that's why I chose it, because that's very easy, because the answer is fuck no.
What made you fall for the best friend's cousin? It seemed because then you said now every family cookout feels like a love triangle in disguise. Is the only time that you guys hang out during a family cookout? Because if so, baby, that's not real love. You're infatuated with the idea of what you see at a family cookout.
They become infatuated or obsessed with the idea or concept of someone, but not the actual person.
Yeah, and you said it feels like a love triangle, so you have lust for them, I would say, or like, yeah. It is possible to love two people, but you seem to be the messy one in this situation, because if it's one thing, you know that certain people's family members are off limits. I could give less than a fuck about who you wanted to go for. But then when titles come into play, you know who you should not fall for. And that is within the parameters, so that you could be in love with two people at once, but you also messy as hell.
Just messy. Because why? Why do you want to do that? It's like y'all are so addicted to being a victim. Why do you want to be in love with one person and another person at the same time? For what? Just doing too damn much. There's something wrong with you. You're insecure. And you need to go to therapy. Unless you truly believe in polygamy, like I said, that's different. Polyamory, polygamy, that's a different concept, because you've already accepted that you want one person. But you guys aren't writing us stuff about polygamy. You guys are writing us stuff about deep betrayal and just overall just sinfulness. Like, give it the fuck up, bro. You are literally talking about, I like my best friend's cousin, but I've been with my girlfriend for 2 years. Because why are you even putting yourself in a situation to even be attracted to someone? What are you doing? Let it go. That's just mad weird. I don't like that. Just doing too much. Y'all have no fucking self-control, no damn discipline, no nothing. Because for real, do they think women don't walk past niggas we like every day and think, that's a sexy-ass man? I mean, and not only do we walk past them, but they come up to us. They talk to us. They ask us for our numbers. And we kindly go, I got someone. You know what I'm saying? And it ain't that we don't see ourselves in lust with them. It ain't that we can't imagine, like, dang, this might be a good person to do this with. This might, but it's called self-discipline. It's called self-respect. Like, it's not that serious. You guys really need to check your sex obsession and addiction, because it's like sex is just not that deep. And most of the time, it don't even be that good with y'all.
Yeah, I gotta hurry up.
Okay, I was a side chick for 2 years and he never posted me. Now he posts his girlfriend every week and I'm sick to my stomach. Is keeping it private protection or was I hidden? Because I was never the main. You already know the answer to that question. Ain't nobody answering that shit for you, bitch. You the side chick, not the main one. Bye. Next. So anyway, reset ritual. Set the intention for the week. So what we want you guys to do is take a deep breath with us in and out. And today we're resetting around ambition, and that's not just about chasing, but also about aligning yourself. And then repeat after me. Well, repeat after Jazz.
What am I repeating?
It does not chase, it attracts.
Okay. My ambition does not chase, it attracts. My ambition does not drain, it aligns. And my ambition does not destroy, it builds.
Also, I want you guys to visualize this. You don't have to do this right now, but this could be your homework. Close your eyes and picture one goal that's been on your spirit. Now ask yourself, does this goal align with the person you are becoming, or does it only serve the person you used to be? And that's a really big one, because I think that a lot of us, once again, in order to gain something, you have to lose something. And so what is still in your life that is hindering you from getting to the next step? Think about that. And then exhale. The grind mindset that tells you it's never enough. You always have to keep working. And then inhale alignment. The knowing that what is for you will never pass you by. So today we just wanted to say, Megan's hard to say, ambition without alignment is just exhaustion. You have to persevere. You definitely have to be resilient, but it has to be towards a common goal. And as Jasmine discussed earlier, it definitely, ambition requires greed. It requires selfishness, and it requires a bit of self-absorption. That's probably going to be the only time we tell you guys to be conceited, is when it comes to your goals. You genuinely have to put yourself first and prioritize what it is that you want in life and align yourself with that. What are some things that you're doing that will not assist you with getting to the next step in your life? Because we all have them.
But when you're online, you attract the right people, the right time, and the right blessings. And can you let them know what we also want them to remember?
What?
Can you let them know what we also want them to remember?
Ambition should feel like flow, not force. That's how you protect your peace while still building your empire.
Absolutely.
This week, ask yourself, is my ambition aligned with my purpose?
Or am I grinding myself away for something that isn't mine? The answer, that is your reset. And you can definitely go nowhere fast. And don't think just because you're working all the time and you're just studying or you're steady doing something, that doesn't mean that you're being productive about it. So the closing line, as always, guys, we'll see you next Sunday. Until then, please drink your water. Mind your motherfucking business. Reset, realign. And remember, you are exactly who you think you are.
If we're negative. So if you think you're a piece of shit, you might be. If you think you are the shit, you still probably not.
What Roland Ray say? You're just not that girl.
I just came back from the dead.
Not that girl.
Still not that girl.
You still not that girl. I just came back from the dead. And you still not that girl.
Okay.
Well.
Rest in peace, Roland Ray. All right. See you guys next Sunday. Set and reset again.